Amen. Are you all glad to be in the house of God this morning? Please smile. Pastor told me about this preaching session about, 3-4 weeks ago, and it's taking me that long to prepare. So please encourage me. Okay? Amen. I'm going to get my brother Daniel to help us read the scripture this morning. He actually... the kids, please go to your Sunday school. Brother Daniel is going to help me read the scripture this morning. He auditioned or interviewed for that job last week when he prayed for the offering. Praise God. So yeah. We're going to read from Judges chapter 6, verse 11 to 27. And if you want a title for this message, it's called Gideon, Almighty Man of Valor. You can start when you hear. Let us stop flipping the Bibles.
No problem.
Okay.
Are we all good?
Yep.
Sweet.
Now, the angel of the Lord came and sat underneath the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the... Abizarite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then all this has happened to us? And where are all these miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on the rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. The angel of the Lord put out the end of a staff that was in his hand and touched the meat with the unleavened bread. And the fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and said it, and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still an opera of the Abizarites. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, "Take your father's young bull, the second bull of the 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your fathers have, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar of the Lord your God on top of the rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down." So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by the day, he did it by night.
Amen. Just hang on to the mic. You may sit. Thanks. Thank you, Daniel. Father God, we thank you for this morning, O God. We thank you for your spirit is in us. Lord, even as we go through scripture, even as we go through your word, we just ask that your spirit would rest upon your word. Lord, even as your word is preached, even as it's sent out, even as our ears hear your word, even as our hearts receive your word, that, Lord, it would bear much fruit in the name of Jesus. Lord, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by your spirit. And we just say, Holy Spirit, do your work in our hearts this morning with the word of God. Lord, let us leave this place transformed men and women for your glory. We give you thanks and we give you praise. Amen. Amen. Okay, we've read the account of Gideon and how he was visited by an angel, how the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and how the angel of the Lord basically came to tell him that he was going to be the one to deliver Israel. If we backtrack a bit and just go through the background of this story, the Israelites were being oppressed by the Midianites. I mean, if you're reading from verse 1, they were being oppressed by the Midianites. They were being kicked around. They were being pushed around. Basically, even the verse actually starts with where it says, the children of Israel, verse 1, did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years, which means they had disobeyed God. They had sinned against God. And God just, I mean, basically it's like God just taking his hand off them. And the Midianites have had a free reign on them. You know, in verse 3 and 4, can I just get Daniel to read that again? He thought he was done. 3 and 4, chapter 6. You can sit and read it if it's okay.
So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, and also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey.
So basically these guys, I mean, they were outlaws, they were terrible people. The Israelites would plant seed, they would grow crops and put everything nicely in the ground and hoping to have a good harvest, and these guys would just come and trash everything, bring their horses, their ox, their cattle, their donkeys, everything, and trash. You know, when I was reading this, it just kind of like reminded me when I was a young boy in school. How many of you were bullied in school? Look, let me just give you a little bit of history of myself. I've not always been this huge hulk, six-pack, biceps and all that man that you see here, you know. There was a time when I was very short. I was actually the shortest in my home at that point. I mean, I was the shortest boy. I was short. I was fat. Basically mommy's boy. And I remember I used to get pushed around in school where maybe like we're having we used to have like an agriculture class. I mean, it's like literally this verse where you'd build hedges to plant your little seeds, and some bully would just come and trying to get to his own hedge or his own set of plants, he'd walk over yours and trash the whole thing. And you know, these guys were bigger than me and I couldn't do anything. Oh boy, if I see those same guys today, I'm sure they would think twice. Praise God. But this is how the Midianites were. They oppressed the Israelites. They pushed them around. They said, look, you guys, I mean, basically they were in a bad place. They were in a horrible place. And then comes the angel of God. Gideon. Here we have Gideon. He's in a wine press, probably somewhere in a cave or underground part of a building somewhere. And he's threshing wheat. I mean, threshing wheat in a wine press. What do you do in a wine press? You make wine, not wheat. And he was threshing wheat. And is Daniel there? The other Daniel. Can I just show that YouTube video real quick, if you don't mind, please? Is it ready to go? And this just gives you a picture of what Gideon was doing. You can hit play now. Thank you. That is some dude threshing wheat by hand, which I suppose was how it was done back in the day, in a wine press. The wine press back in those days was probably like a little rectangular hole in the ground, and you would throw in all the grapes, and they used to use their feet to do it back in those days. Not like how you see it in Swan Valley now, where they have these machines and things squeezing and pressing everything. Not like that. So he was basically threshing wheat. You can stop it now. Thanks. He was threshing wheat in a wine press, which is like the wrong place, wrong time, doing the wrong thing. And here comes this angel and says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And of course, Gideon said, "Say what? Are you talking to me? Are you referring to me? Here I am." Even the Bible says that he was hiding in that wine press so that the Midianites wouldn't see him. That's why he was in that wine press threshing wheat in there. And this angel now calls him and calls him mighty man of valor, you man of faith. You know, and even as I've given you the title of this message to say Gideon, oh mighty man of valor, I want you to just, if you have written it down, just cross Gideon out and put your name there. And say Nigel, oh mighty man of valor. Or Daniel, oh mighty man of valor. Or Dolly, oh woman of valor. You know, change the man to woman if you're a female. Thank you. Now the angel appears to him and tells him, look, you are going to be used to deliver Israel. You're going to be used to get Israel out of this mess that we're in. And the first thing Gideon did was question him. He says, God, how can you say you exist if all this has been happening to us? How can you say you're with us if all this has been happening to us? But you know, in the verses before that, it says that the children of Israel cried out to God for deliverance. And of course, he sent the angel to come and speak to Gideon. Now, Gideon was like, nah, this can't be God. This is a hard place. So he questioned the angel. He questioned and said, how can you say you are with us if all this has been happening? These people have been basically thrashing everything we have. They've been oppressing us. They've been pushing us around. They've been humiliating us, if I may put it that way. And you know, sometimes we ask ourselves that question as well. God, how can you be with me if I'm still like this? If I'm still feeling this pain? If this sickness is still on my body, if my kids are still behaving this way, if this thing is not happening that way, if my business is not going out, you question God. You ask God, how can you say you are with me? But he kind of like questioned all that God was doing, but the angel, of course, did not give up. The angel was on an assignment from God, and he had to get his point across. And of course, it goes on, if we may go to verse 15. He says, so he said to himself, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. He went back to his clan in the kingdom of Israel. He's the least of Manasseh, which was like the weakest, basically. And then he also was the least in his father's house. You know, sometimes I think to myself, I've got three older brothers, and like I said, I'm one of the youngest, and I grew up always being the youngest in the home. My mom has five kids, four boys and one girl. The girl is younger than me, and I had three older brothers, and I was always the youngest, as in I was number four. So whenever, like, I was supposed to wear clothes, I would wear clothes that my older brother had worn 10 years ago, basically passed down, you know, that kind of thing. Whenever I was going to wear stuff, I would wear stuff that the 10-year-old, the older one had worn, and then the 7-year-old had worn. It was always by the time I wore it, it didn't even look like clothes anymore. It looked more like sackcloth. But you see, that is the kind of atmosphere I grew up in, and thank God. You know, sometimes when I read this story, I thought to myself, gosh, this guy is kind of like describing me. Like I told you, there was a time I was one of the shortest in the room. I've got a brother who is 6'4". I've got another one who is 6'2", and I've got another one who is 6'1", and I am 6 foot exact. My sister is 5'11". So all of them, there was a point they were all like giants, and I used to look up to them like, wow. And they used to push me around, you know, and I used to always have this funny feeling. I've shared this before, I think. There was a time all of them had traveled on an airplane and had never traveled on one before, because it just so happened whenever mom wanted to go on holidays mom, most of the time, she would take two or she would take one, and I just always got left out. I don't know how it happened, but I just never did. And you know, they used to they were terrible. They used to make fun of me and say, oh, you've never been on an airplane. We'll describe it to you. We'll try and draw. I'm like, don't worry. I've seen movies before. I see what an airplane looks like on the inside. And you know, that was just me, the smallest. And you know, when I read the scripture with Gideon saying he was from the tribe of Manasseh, the weakest in that clan, and that he was even the least in his father's house. You know, I look at myself, you see me, Lord, I'm short, I'm fat, I'm even Nigerian, who's going to want to listen to me, and all that kind of stuff. But you see, it's not what you see of yourself, but what God sees of you. Amen? It's not what you think of yourself, but what God thinks of you. That is important. And, you know, Gideon's faith was so shaken. I mean, he was in a bad place. He had to ask for signs. He had to put out fleeces for God to try and prove that indeed God was leading him. And, you know, if we read further in... first of all, he went to prepare the offering in verse 18 and 19. And then when he brought it in verse 20, the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Basically, God proved himself at that point. And Gideon goes in verse 22. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And I believe here the Spirit of the Lord must have told him, peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. Because I think back in those days, if you ever saw God face to face, and I'm sure even now, we can't even behold, God himself, the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, to see him face to face. I think with all our filthiness and our sins and everything, it will consume us, basically. Amen? Am I speaking too fast? Okay, cool. Now, like as if that test wasn't enough, like as if that test hadn't proven enough to Gideon, he even asked for more. And, how many of you dare say that Gideon was asking for too much? How many of you would say, oh, he was too demanding for signs? You would? I wouldn't. I mean, sometimes you see things happen around you. You see people get saved. You see people get healed. But you still question because you're going through a very hard time yourself. So you question where, fine, it's happening to them. I want my own Lord. Where are you in my own situation? And you see, that's why Gideon kept on saying, I want another test. Because, here he was a scared guy, a frightful guy, a guy who was basically in the dumps. If you look at the way he was conducting his life. And he wanted sign after sign after sign for God to prove that he was there for them. And then it went on in verse 24. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is Peace. To this day it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And then it says in verse 24, now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord, your God, on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. Now, this is interesting. This is the Lord speaking to Gideon. He didn't tell him, take your father's young bull, the first one. He told him the second one. Even gave him, specifics to say how old the bull was, the seven-year-old one, and tear down the altar. And, this tells me that there's some time when God wants to do things in your life and there's stuff in your life that needs to be gotten rid of. There's baggage from your old life. There's things that you're still holding on to or things that are taking up too much of your attention that God wants you to get rid of. And, the Holy Spirit here, God, through what was so specific in saying the second bull, take that one, the seven-year-old one, break down your father's altar, break down those things that are stopping you from getting to me. I believe Gideon was even staying in his father's house, because I think later on in the verses when they were looking for Gideon, they went to his father's house to try and look for him, to get him there. So the Lord was like, look, I cannot work through you if you still have all these things in the past, if you still have these things that are basically an idol in your father's house. Take it, knock it down, destroy it, and sacrifice. Sacrifice one of your father's bulls onto me. And he obeyed. He did the right thing, and he obeyed, and praise God. The next thing, there was a death warrant on his life. If you read on in verses 29, 30, 31, those guys came out. They came, where's Gideon? Bring him out. We're going to finish him. How could he do this to the altar of Baal? And basically, his father, wise, full of wisdom, said, if Baal could have looked after himself, then he should have looked after himself. That's just to paraphrase it in today's language. If Baal could have looked after himself, he should have looked after himself, and Gideon would not have been able to break his altar. And, he didn't say what happened after that. But one part that really hit me was like Gideon was now, he now seemed to get it. He was now getting the details of what God was trying to do through him. Now, if we read in verse 33, then all the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. They were ready to fight again, the same thorn in the flesh of the children of Israel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezerites gathered behind him. I think that verse 34 was a turning point in Gideon's life, where the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord took over. Basically, he now went from the man of weakness, the man of failure, to now the man of valor that God had said he was from day one. Amen? Am I making sense? Now, he now went on to start doing what God had had, what would have him do. But he still questioned, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said in verse 36. And he said, look, I'll put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there's dew on the fleece only and there's no dew on the ground next to it, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand. He put another test out for God, and God did it. God showed himself faithful. Then he now came again and turned it around again and said, no, this time, Lord, I want only the fleece to be dry and then the ground to be wet. And God did it again. Amen? You know, sometimes people preach from this verses of scripture about, should we test God that much? I mean, what do you think? Should we? Sorry? I don't think we should. We should not. We should just, this, which is where we are different, which is where the finished work on the cross, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he rose again from the dead. He said, I'm going to send to you a comforter. I'm going to send to you a helper. He went, he descended, he ascended into heaven, praise God, and the Holy Spirit that Pastor Philip has been preaching on the last few weeks is in us. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into you. And, you know, that element of faith should start building up on the inside of you, that you don't need test after test. It's hard. I know the road is tough sometimes. It can be very daunting when you don't know what to expect. When you see things happen and you wonder why, Lord, what is going on? I can't explain this. But that's where the Spirit of God comes in as our comforter, as our helper, as our guide, as the one to encourage us when we go through tough times, when we go through stuff that we can't even explain with words of mouth. Amen? And, you know, after that test, God showed himself faithful and said, yep, that's it, I'm going to do it. And he did, and Gideon then thought, that's it. God is definitely with me. I'm going to go out to fight. I'm going to go out to fight this battle. And, you know, we read on where Gideon summoned all the people. The Bible actually records that 32,000 of them came ready to fight. 32,000 of them stood next to him, and they were ready to go all out to face their enemies. I mean, they definitely had something deposited in their hearts as well, that God is definitely with Gideon. And the Lord then started saying, basically he said, let me just look down. Yeah, in verse 2 of chapter 7, if you may just check that. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Basically, the Lord said, there are too many of you. If you fight, you're going to think, oh, it's because of the strength of your numbers. That's why we won this battle. I mean, it's like how sometimes in our lives we think, because I'm so good at this thing, I don't even need to pray before I do it. I'll just go and do it. And sometimes when you think, oh, I want to buy this house, or I want to buy this thing, and you don't need to ask God, oh, Lord, which one should I buy? Because you have so much money, you think, yeah, I can just do it anywhere I please. You don't need God's help. But the Lord would rather use people who, if I may put it this way, come to the end of themselves, where there's nothing you can do to help the situation. There's nothing you can do to change the situation. There's nothing you can do to help yourself. And the Lord just said, I'm not going to let this 32,000 guys fight this battle. So he then said, just ask them a question. All of you who are here, who are fearful, who are terrified, who are thinking, I don't feel good about this, just tell me. And 22,000 of them raised their hands, and he said, okay, you guys, thank you, you may go home.
I imagine they all go home,
they get home, and their wives say, hey, John, you're back. What happened? Oh, it's all right. It's okay. Oh, it's all good. How come you're not fighting the battle? Ah, they didn't need us. There were too many of us anyway. No, they didn't need us. He didn't tell his wife, I chickened out. He didn't tell his wife, I couldn't take it. You know? But the Bible said 22,000 of them were basically told, thanks for coming, but we'll call you, don't call us. And they went home. And as if that wasn't enough, the Lord had 10,000 people to fight that battle with. But he still said, no, there's still too many. And you wonder, my goodness, I mean, 10,000, what kind of battle plan is that? There's always strength in numbers. The more people who are armed with guns in those days, probably arrows and spears and chariots or whatever it is they were using to fight, the more the merrier, the more they would be able to withstand the enemy. And there were 10,000. And the Lord said, no, I still can't use these people. There's still too many. I mean, by that time, it starts basically going against all logic for a battle plan. And the Lord now says, Lord God now says, let all of them come and drink water and basically see how they lap the water. See those who go on their knees or those who just take the water straight into their mouths. And of those who lap the water, separate those ones onto one side and those who don't, put them on another side. Out of the 10,000, only 300 lapped the water as the Lord wanted. And it was those 300 that he then said, we'll go and fight the battle. How does that, what kind of battle plan is that? It's God's battle plan. Out of the little that we have, we don't even have anything. I mean, he brings us to the end, or he allows Satan to bring us to the end of ourselves. He allows us to get to where we say, okay, God, the doctors can't help anymore. The medicines can't help anymore. The everything can't help anymore, but I know you can help. And that's where he wants to get us to, that place where we have that absolute dependence on him. When we're not trusting him in the things that we have, or the people that we know, or the friends that we have, or the house that we have, or whatever. We're just saying, God, it's all about you. It's you. It's you that is going to make this change in my life. And so God brought them to this place where there was 300. How many of you know that Gideon must have now thought, did I listen right or not? He must be singing to himself, God, what are you doing? I had 32,000 dudes, I mean, six packs, muscles and all. And then you sent 22,000 of them home. And then you now send another, 9,700 of them home. What are you doing here? But Gideon just obeyed the Lord. He basically followed every instruction that God said he was supposed to follow. And of course, the story goes on, and they won the battle. They basically displaced the Midianites, and they made mockery out of them, basically looted them, and they won that war. That's the bottom line of that story. Now, that gets us to start thinking that sometimes his ways are not our ways. Amen? God's ways are not our ways sometimes. I mean, I'm not saying you should do this kind of thing. Maybe, I can't even think of an example that you can use today. But just remember one thing, that sometimes when God asks you to do things, that it may go against the normal logic that you think that it should have gone through, if you understand what I'm saying. I mean, and please don't get me wrong. Don't go and do dumb things and say, oh, well, God says he will never leave me nor forsake me. He will protect me. He will guide me. And then jump out of a plane without a parachute. You know, that's kind of cuckoo-headed stuff. That's really silly. You don't do that. But you hang on to God. When you're faced with dire situations and dire needs and things are not going right, just come back to God and say, God, you help me. You are the one that is my sustenance. You are the one that is my help. You are the one that is my hope. And he would always be there for you. Now, in applying what we've just read about Gideon or Nigel, the mighty man of valor, in applying that to our lives, do you look down on yourself? Do you say, God, nah, you can't use me. I mean, all that stuff, those preachers came and prophesied over my life, I can't see it coming to pass because things are just not working out. You know, do you ask yourself those kind of questions? Do you constantly say, God, show yourself strong? I mean, I want to see another sign. Are you in that place in your life? You may be, you may not be. It depends. But my prayer is that you would grab a hold of God. And you know, like Pastor Philip has been preaching over the last few Sundays, and Pastor Yang, I think a couple of Sundays or three Sundays ago before that, about the Spirit of God and the glory of God and the power of God. And you know, Pastor Philip was talking about when you receive the power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. To me, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is what makes a difference. I mean, Gideon wanted to be double sure that if the Lord was not with him, he was not going to make a fool of himself. And I guess we all want to be double sure, right? But one thing I can tell you, we already have the Holy Spirit in us. With that evidence, and probably that's why Pastor Philip was preaching so much about that evidence of speaking in tongues, because you know without a doubt that the Holy Spirit is in you. Amen? And, you know, we read in Scripture, for instance, if you fast forward into the New Testament and you read the account of the disciples, an example is Peter. When the Lord was crucified in Mark, I think in chapter 14, before he was crucified, the Lord Jesus told him, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Ah, no way, me, Lord, I'll be with you, man. Whatever it is, I'll die for you, I'll kill for you, blah, blah, blah. And Peter was, you know, full of gusto, and he was so brave, and he was so adamant about not letting God go. But of course, when he now saw the Lord Jesus himself getting arrested, getting humiliated, arraigned before the high priest, and basically, it didn't, I'm sure that must have dented his faith terribly. And then he now takes three people to ask him, oh, aren't you one of those disciples? No, I'm with the other guys. A little girl comes to him and says, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples as well? He goes, no, that's not me, it's the other guy. He denied Christ three times, basically. He said, nope, I wouldn't have anything to do with this guy. And like the Lord had prophesied, the cock will crow twice. Sorry, he would have denied him three times before the cock crows twice. And he then did that. And Peter was like, oh, he was in a bad state. But now fast forward to Acts of the Gospel. The Acts of the Apostles. In chapter 1, verse 8. Where the Lord promised, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You know, you shall receive that power. And if you now fast forward again to when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came down in that upper room, 120, who was the first guy to speak and declare by faith? It was Peter. I mean, he had no fear anymore. The Holy Spirit had consumed them so powerfully. There was not one iota of doubt or fear in him, because he had seen the Lord's promise fulfilled in his life. And he stood up, men and brethren, these men you see here, they're not drunk. If they're drunk at all, they're drunk in the Spirit. You guys, you better get your act together. The Jesus Christ you guys crucified, I mean, is the one they now believe, and they're now trusted in him. And the Bible goes on to say that 3,000 of them got saved that day because of Peter boldly declaring what God had done. I know my message to you is, I don't know what God has called you to do in his kingdom. And I think this is specifically in his kingdom, where you're thinking to yourself, nah, Lord, you know, my past has been so rough. I did this, I did that, I did that, you know, I was involved in this. God is not interested in all that stuff. He knows all these things. I mean, he saved you, so he knows all those things. Never look down on your past. Never look down on things you have done. Never say to yourself, no, I'm worthless. I mean, God would just say, yeah, I know that. That's why I died for you. That's why I sent my son to die for you. I know of yourself you can do nothing. But because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the comforter that now dwells in you, that now lives in you, I mean, that kind of gives you a boldness. It gives you that spirit of just saying, God, come with me. Whatever it is, I'll face it head on because you are with me. Not because I'm big or because I'm muscular. No. Because God is with me. Amen? So just remember that. And, you know, a friend of mine always used to share this story about that we hope that when we get to heaven, we won't be complaining. And, you know, where the Bible even talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. I can't remember whether it says that it's in heaven or in hell, whatever it is. But I just pray that we as Christians, we will not get to heaven and then regret what we could have done as a result of the power of God that we did not use. You know, and I'll say this, please don't take any offense, but I'll make everybody happy, don't worry. You don't want to live life like a Volkswagen Golf. Sorry, no offense to Jacinta. When you could have lived life like a Holden SSS, right? Now, let me bring it back to some other people. You don't want to live life like a VW Beetle, for instance, when you could have lived like an XR6 Ford. What am I trying to say? You don't want to live life in a weak, pitiful state when you could have lived under the power of God. You understand? Under the full power, the full anointing of God, the full, you know, hook, line, and sinker, everything that God has for you, you take it and say, God, I want to use this. Whatever you have given me in the Word of God, I am going to use it for your glory. And, you know, it'll be such a regret when we get to heaven. And God says, you know, you're saying, God, oh, you know, I was begging you for this and it never happened. And God says, all you had to do was pray and call out to me and seek my face and listen to what I tell you to do. And it would have happened like that. And, you know, and you bring this other issue to God. God, why didn't you do that? Why? And God says, you had the power to do it all this while, but you didn't do it. You didn't obey, or you didn't do as I said in my word. And the Holy Spirit was there. You never even asked him to say, okay, Holy Spirit, what do I do about this issue? What do I do about this situation in my life? And, you know, we need to get to that place as children of God where we are constantly practicing the presence of God, just asking the Holy Spirit for help, asking the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, asking the Holy Spirit to be there for us. And, you know, God forbid that we get to heaven and we now see maybe like little YouTube videos of what we would have done if we had done the right thing. And God just shows us in a flash and we're like, oh my goodness, oh Lord, why? You know, God forbid that that would happen to us. Amen. It's my prayer that each one of us will reach our fullest destiny in Christ. And, you know, something very interesting happened to Dolly and I. She's probably going to beat me up for saying this, but it's okay. I've got the Holy Spirit who's going to watch over me. Praise God. There's this big bananas that we eat in Nigeria. We eat it with rice and stew. And I think Miss Stewart probably knows which one it is. It's plantain. It's basically, it's bigger than your normal bananas, right? Very big stuff. Beautiful stuff. If you cut it up, slice it and fry it. Excellent. Especially when my wife makes Nigerian stew and you have it with rice. Oh, beautiful. I mean, that's the kind of meal where you sit down, you sit in front of you and say, I love you, Lord. And you're thanking God because of such a wonderful. You probably know where my heart is. God forgive me. No, but so that banana meal, the closest we could get to it here in Australia was to get lady finger bananas, right? In Woolies at like $7 per kilo. By the time you buy 3 kilos, killer. And not knowing, now this would excite everybody when you hear this, that a lot of the Asian grocery stores actually had a frozen version of that same banana in the freezer department. We didn't know that, okay? For 7 years, we've been suffering. We didn't know that we could just walk into it. And we've gone, I mean, come on. All my kids were born in Singapore. We buy the wonton noodles. We buy stuff for steamboat. We buy, chili sauce, Lingam's chili sauce. I mean, we eat a lot of Asian food in our house. We've walked past those freezers so many times. There was even once I saw it and I told my wife, now this is where I'm going to get in trouble. I said, doesn't that look like the banana? She said, no, it's not. Why do you want to buy that? Praise God. But, you know, that is us seeing that thing. And we thought, nah, what is this? Then we now receive a call from a bunch of Nigerians 2 weeks ago or so. And they now tell us, hey, do you know what we've discovered? That there's this, the plantain that we eat at home, the banana is sold in Asian shops. And, you know, it's so cheap. You can buy a packet for so much and, oh, you can, and I'm like, no, this can't be happening to me. This can't, I mean, if anybody else has been going to Asian shops, I probably should get an award for that. And if some lady who probably doesn't even know how to eat an Asian meal, who doesn't even know the difference between a Chinese meal and a Japanese meal, that now tells me where to get that. And you know, when we were talking about it, my friend now shared, who's a Christian, now said, do you know that's how God has given us some gifts? We walk past it every day. We walk past, in our daily business, he's given us the Holy Spirit. And we go back and forth. We keep running and killing ourselves, spending so much money. And whereas the treasure is right there, and we missed it. I tell you, for me, that when he said that, I thought, my goodness, God, okay, I repent. Next time, I won't listen to my wife. Nah, please. I'm in trouble, I'm telling you. Does anybody have a spare room up north? Praise God. But no, I'm just using that as an illustration to just get across my story that, look, the Spirit of God is there. We don't want to get to places where we regret that we had that power, we had that connection with the Holy Spirit, but we just absolutely ignored him. And I will tell you, just to add to Pastor Philip's sermon about praying in the Spirit, one thing personally I have seen is you pray in the Spirit and things happen. You just, sometimes you're facing situations where you don't know what to do. You just start praying in the Spirit, just start praying in tongues, start praying in tongues, start praying in the Spirit, praying and just, let God be God on your behalf. I've shared this story before. There was once I was traveling from one part of Nigeria to another part, about 16 hours journey. And when we started that journey, we were sitting on horrible chairs. It was cramped and it was just an uncomfortable journey in a travel bus, like a coach. Not really like a coach. It was more like a transport for lambs or something, the way it felt like. But we were traveling in that and it was very uncomfortable. And then the truck or the bus broke down on the way. A journey that was supposed to take 12 hours ended up taking about 16 or 17 hours. And about 2 hours from our destination, the driver who was driving the bus got very tired. And he slept off, veered off the road, went into a ditch, overturned on its head. And throughout that journey, the pastor who I was traveling with was praying in the Spirit. I was at the back, crammed between some other people. I was praying. We were just, because we had nothing else to do, and it was so painful, and we had been praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. When we came out of that overturned bus, I had absolutely no injuries. All I had was a piece of glass, shattered glass in my mouth. There was blood everywhere. The people were wounded, and it was nasty. And, I thanked God that, look, I can't say for sure that maybe because we were praying in the Spirit, that happened. Or, you ask yourself, how would that have happened if you were praying in the Spirit? But it could have been worse. And the last thing you want to happen to you is to get into an accident like that in Nigeria. We were in the middle of two major states. Even for an ambulance to get to us would have taken at least an hour to get to us. So it was just, I tell you, and I remember, and I think I've shared this story before, there was this little baby girl who was sitting, I think she was in the seat before in front of me, and her mom, they belonged to this very funny Christian group where they all had to wear white, and especially if they wore that white, it would protect them. And this little girl was wearing that white gown as well, and she was singing this song in our language, that basically the translation is, accept my praise, dear God, this is my offering to you, and this is what I bring to you, that as you've always been treating me, just continue to do the same in my life. This little girl, I'm sure she must have been like 2 or 2.5. She could barely speak, but she was singing the song that she'd always heard her mom and probably her parents sing in church. You won't believe, after that accident happened and the bus overturned, we couldn't find the little girl. And everybody was, and I thought, oh my God, Lord, please, where is she? She's looking under this, because the whole thing had smashed in and there were seats pressed onto the body of the bus. And some people were stuck. They had to drag them out and all that. And we were looking for this little girl. We couldn't find this little girl. We were all in a state of panic. And somebody just said, isn't that not the little girl over there sitting on like a rock at the side of the road? Till this day, I don't know how that girl got out of that bus. True story. Till this day, there's no explanation except that God was watching over her. And I've seen such things that it has gotten me to a stage where I don't even question God anymore. No matter what I go through in life, no matter how hard it can be, I know God is there to protect. Amen? Amen. And I just want to encourage every one of us. We should come to that place where we have faith in God. I mean, the Bible talks about building up ourselves in our most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. I think it's in Jude 26 or so, that we should build up ourselves in our most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. If you don't know what to pray sometimes, I mean, you don't have to come with a long shopping list to God. Just start praying in the Spirit. Just ask God to just help you to open doors, to close doors, whatever it is that needs to be done for your salvation, for His victory in your life. Amen. And, you know, when it happens, you know so well, God, it had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with my handsome face, my whatever. It's just you, God. And you get to that place where nothing would move you anymore. Nothing would startle you. Or, I mean, my wife knows this. When things go wrong, when things that are bad happen, I just maintain a cool and calm. I'm like, and she looks at me like, you're not worrying. My worrying is not going to change anything. I trust in God. I've seen Him move time and time again on my behalf. There's nothing I can do in my own strength to fix the situation but to trust in Him. So I just want to leave that with you. You know, like I said, put your name in place of Gideon and call yourself Nigel, O mighty man of valor. Call yourself O mighty man of faith, or O mighty woman of faith, that God can do greater, abundantly, more than you can ever ask or think, for His glory. I'm telling you, that is the most important part of this whole thing. And we read even from verse 1 that the minute the Midianites moved away from God, the minute they veered away from God, that was it. They let themselves open to scrutiny, to humiliation, to oppression. But the minute Gideon gathered them back together, and he even goes on to say, I think it's in chapter 7 or 8, for the next 40 years, they lived in peace. Nobody came to disturb them anymore. I mean, 40 years of peace. I would like that, honestly. Can't even go 40 days without peace sometimes. So please, I beg you by the mercy of God, remember baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. Let's not miss out on God's destiny. Let's not throw away what God has paid so dearly for. You know, His Son was put on that cross, was nailed to that cross, that we might have life and have it abundantly. Amen? Amen? Shall we all rise, please, even as we just close? Well, we'll pray for a while. Can I get the musicians, please? Just play softly. And I don't know if there's anybody here who is feeling like, God, I don't think you can do anything for me. You know, you've got questions, you're doubting yourself, you're saying, no, I'm the least in my family, I'm the one that was not smart enough to go to school, whatever it is. I don't know whatever it is you may be struggling with, whatever insecurities or whatever doubts you may have in your mind. This is the time to just say, God, I want to have faith in you. Lord, if you're not going with me, if I'm not with you, I'm not going anywhere, basically. Holy Spirit, take control. Take control. Be magnified. Amen? Amen. And, you know, before we even pray for those who want God to touch their hearts, is there anybody here who needs to give their hearts to the Lord? Anybody here who needs to say, Lord Jesus, I want to partake of this abundant life? If you're here, you're not born again, and you want to just give your life to Christ, can I just ask you, by the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus, to raise up your hand? Amen. If there's anybody here who wants to commit their hearts to the Lord, anybody who is, you know, you're in that place where you think, no, you've done too much, you've sinned so badly, you've done stuff you shouldn't have done. As a child, not even a child of God, just even as a person. If anybody's here and you want to give your heart to the Lord, just please raise up your hand. Anyone who would like to say, Lord, I want to partake of this abundant life. I want to soak myself up in you. I want to be like Gideon, to be called a mighty man of valor in you. Amen. thank the Lord for this brother. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Anybody else? In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We serve a faithful God. Amen. We serve a faithful God. Brother, you're welcome to the house of God. And I'll probably just say this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I repent of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to come into my life. I choose to follow you, Lord. I choose to trust you, Lord. To give up all my wicked and old ways. To give up all my wicked and to give up my old ways. I choose to trust in you, Lord. Receive me into your kingdom. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I'll just let you go with Brother Peter and Brother Ronnie.